Before we start the show, I just want to show you two videos that relate to what we talk about in the show. The first video that you're about to see is a short video from Germany. Alfred Schaefer shared this video with us, and I asked him, what are these children saying? So, the central figure in this short video is this little German girl that you see here, dressed in red and white. And she's surrounded by a bunch of other girls that are non-white. And they tell her that she must close her eyes, and then when she closes her eyes, they hit her. But they keep egging her on and telling her to close her eyes again, and then someone else hits her. But before I give my commentary, I'd like you to actually watch it. Take a look at these other girls and look at how they behave towards this little German girl. But watch them very carefully, because this little German girl is outnumbered. And keep in mind that humans are animals. We are animals. Don't fool yourself in this regard. Don't kid yourself. All humans are animals, and that includes us whites. Because I want you to watch the animal behavior that's going on here. So watch how those girls talk to this little German girl. And when this little German girl starts to go into a state of shock, and she's starting to panic, and she's starting to cry, look at how the others treat her. Look at their body language. Look at how they speak to her. Listen to the tone of the way they speak to her. And you'll see at a point, one of them even spits straight into her face. But she's surrounded and she's outnumbered. It seems to me as if towards the end of this, as if they are all trying to start covering it up, as if they are trying to calm her down now, so that they don't get caught for what they're doing. But I want you to watch and listen carefully. Look at them and look at how they behave and look at their body language. And she's in a state of panic later and she's crying. But they are laughing. So watch this. My real commentary comes after this.
Ich lasse die Chance, wir hauen dich alle dumm und dämlich, dass wir bluten auf den Boden.
Selbst er darf dann hauen.
Nein, Digga, das war Spaß.
Los, Auge zu.
Zulassen.
Zulassen!
Aber nicht Nase. Nase. Nicht Nase.
Mach deine
Augen jetzt.
Mach deine Augen jetzt zu.
Was denkst du, Alter?
Mach deine scheiß Augen jetzt zu, Digga.
Warte, ich wollte doch, ich wollte doch.
Schrei nicht so, ich heule nicht so laut. Steh auf.
Warte, ich bekomme einfach. Ich bekomme einfach.
Okay, heul leise.
Wo ist die? Achso, hier.
Wo ist meine Kippe jetzt hin?
Die hat sie.
Egal, wir rauchen. Wir haben noch welche hier, den gib ihr erstmal.
Achso, willst du?
Nein, ich hab keine.
Sicher?
Ja.
Kannst du mich haben?
Stell dich mal um sie herum, da kommen Leute, Digga. Wunder. Stell dich mal um sie herum. Stell dich mal um sie herum.
Nein,
du darfst danach gehen, wenn noch einer darf dich klatschen, danach darfst du gehen. Und du spielst jetzt mit bei der Frau. Dann kriegst du immer noch eine Kippe.
Und wenn nicht, dann hauen wir dich bin. Alle auf einmal. Ja,
alles gut.
Alles gut. Wer hat dich denn geschlagen, Mausi? Alter,
die Jugend zu verordnen.
Alles gut.
Hallo.
Wollen wir finden dich.
Now that you've looked at that, I want to tell you something, and I've observed this here in Africa, in my life here in Africa, and also in studying the history of Southern Africa and the various things that have gone on here. I want to tell you something. Jews and liberals talk lots of shit. Jews engage in tons of sophistry. What is sophistry? Sophistry is a fallacious, false argument that sounds as if it's real, that sounds as if it's logical. So Jews come and Jews say to whites in America, they say, well, you see, you did slavery, you kept the black man down, and that's why the black man is the way that he is. You are the reason why the black man is the way that he is, because you did not treat him properly. And they say the same thing to whites in South Africa. Well, you see, it's because of apartheid that those people behave like that. It's your fault. They weren't like this, and they wouldn't be like this if it wasn't for you. And so it goes on. They will tell the Germans, you were the evil people. That's why people are like this. It's your fault. So these lying scum are busy fooling whites, and they lie in unison, just as Hitler said, and they all talk the same shit all the time. And eventually whites begin to doubt themselves, and whites begin to think, oh, you know, maybe this is so. And one thing that I've noticed living here in Africa, as I watch what these Jews and liberal scum are busy telling you people in North America and people in Europe, they are lying to you. They are first and foremost drawing the wrong conclusions from the history between whites and blacks in Africa. So they'll tell you, oh no, you see, the reason that thing happened there was because of apartheid. But meanwhile, that isn't true. And they are so bold that they even go and they are busy changing and reinterpreting American history so that Americans, white Americans, are now getting more and more afraid of their history and their own supposed crimes. So now white Americans have to beg the blacks to forgive them for slavery, etc. But everything that you're being told is a bunch of garbage. It has no intellectual value. There is nothing in history to support those conclusions. And if you know these other races and you leave them to themselves, they will still behave the way that they behave. And the way that they behave has got absolutely nothing to do with your behavior. In fact, later in this show, Alfred Schaefer and I were having a discussion about what he learned from non-whites when he was in prison in Germany for 4.5 years. And I think what I need to do is maybe find a bit of video footage for Alfred from Africa, because he needs to see a few more things, and I think it will shock all of you. The behavior and the personalities of these children that you're seeing there is a direct result of their own culture, their own parents, etc. And maybe the Jews and the liberal propaganda has even stoked the non-whites up into doing worse things. But that's a whole other topic. This is especially true in America, where white Americans think they are the problem. Meanwhile, the real cause of the problem are the Jews and the liberals, who are busy pumping propaganda and hatred into the brains of the blacks right in front of your face. That it had nothing to do with slavery, nor did it have anything to do with any other behavior of white Americans. But look at these young girls and their behavior towards this little white German girl now that they outnumber her. One thing that I would like to warn all of you, as much as I possibly can, is that as your numbers dwindle and as you find yourself more and more outnumbered by these other races, at first, those people will seem to behave pretty much like you when you are in the majority. However, as time goes by and you become less and less and you become weaker and weaker, you will find that then they start changing. They start changing and the nightmare really begins. And that little girl is an example of the nightmare that's coming. But it's happened to other children. I was looking at a video some time back of some young white girls in Britain getting a beating from non-whites. So these white children are just the beginning of the nightmare that is coming. And I cannot stress enough to you, as your numbers dwindle and as they start outnumbering you, you will see how they will change. And they're going to change and they're going to become nastier and nastier. And you're going to see sides of them that you had never seen before, that 10 or 20 years before you would never have seen that. And now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this comes. Now, because all humans are animals, These children are still young and they are not disciplined and they don't have much control over themselves. But you can see the raw animal behavior that is inside of those girls. And you can see how nasty they are and how evil they become, to the point where they are spitting in her face, shouting at her, scaring her, etc. And they are laughing. And laughing is what you do when you feel happy. And if you look at Nietzsche and Nietzsche's excellent understanding of humans, you laugh and you are happy when you become powerful. So the power and the sense of power makes you laugh. Now, in this case, they are just slapping this little girl around and shouting at her and also spitting in her face. But if they were to get older and they have access to weapons and it's no longer girls but it's boys, then this thing that you see this little girl going through, this could become a torture session. This little girl would then be totally under their control. She won't be able to run away. They outnumber her. They can physically restrain her. And they could torture her. And look at them closely. Let me tell you, given time and the right conditions, that little girl is having it easy now. But the real nasty stuff can be coming in the decades to come. I will return to this thing of blacks and what they do. And you're in for some surprises and shocks. And these non-whites and their behavior towards that little girl, let me tell you, you'll see lots more of that. And when they become older and the boys get involved, etc., you're going to see a nightmare. And let me warn you, liberalism and Jews are misleading everybody. And they are actually creating, they are creating the hatred. It's not that the hatred was there before. They are feeding the hatred every day. And if you go and look at America, America is the best example. These blacks who've been taught all kinds of things, all kinds of leftist stuff. They've invented all kinds of weirdo, creepy beliefs about the past. Afrocentrism, etc. They start believing in fantasies and then they start to think about how the whites cheated them out of building the pyramids and how the whites cheated them at this and whites cheated them out of that. And then by believing this foolish nonsense, they start developing a hatred that didn't exist. But liberalism and Jews brought it. Before that, they didn't even know about those things. And you've got to be careful of liberals and Jews. They're not only misleading whites, they are at the same time stoking up the others to hate you right in front of your face. Go and look around America. Go and look all over America, it's happening all the time and has been happening for decades. Liberalism never solved any of these problems. So this poor little German girl, she's living in Germany and she's not even allowed to be herself. The nightmare has come to her. If Hitler and the Nazis had been around, this would never have happened. But Germans are being stabbed to death. German children are being stabbed all these nightmares are now there in Germany. You can thank Winston Churchill and Roosevelt for this. In this show, I discuss secession in South Africa. I don't discuss everything about it, but I discuss how this concept of secession is gaining ground, especially in the Cape Province. The Cape Province is the southernmost province of South Africa, and it's the one where whites arrived first. Alex asked me a bunch of questions about secession, and it became clear that secession needs some clearer explanation. There have been many attempts at secession in Africa, and secession has taken place in the rest of the world as well. For example, what is now Belgium used to be a part of the Netherlands, and they seceded. And the Confederate States of the USA also seceded. But in more recent times in Africa, since the whites had to give up their empires and retreated out of Africa, there have been many attempts at secession, and many of them have even been black on black attempts at secession. So Alex asked me why would the ANC, the ruling party of South Africa, allow secession? And the answer is they almost certainly won't like secession, and they will probably resist it with all the force that they can. But secession is a legal process, and it's recognized even by the United Nations and the EU. In theory, secession is possible in the United States even now, that individual states could secede. And when I was in Canada in 2019, I spoke to French people who told me about their attempts at the secession of Quebec, and how they tried to secede, and how they were actually cheated out of it. They had their referendum, and the government of Canada actually just rigged the whole thing so that the French could not break away. But the French had in fact voted to break away. So what do you do if you want to secede and the central government that you are trying to secede from rigs the election? Well, if you are truly determined, it ultimately ends up becoming a civil war. So in the case of the French Canadians, they did not go to war against the whole of Canada, so they lost. But in the case of America, later the North decided to reunify America, and regardless of whatever reasons they gave for the war, the bottom line is that Lincoln said he wants to get everybody back into the Union. And so it resulted in the most bloody conflict between white Americans that has ever taken place. Now, in South Africa, secession is allowed by the Constitution. But I want to just show you a little bit about what happens when you secede and the central government decides that they don't like it. And it is a 99.9% certainty that if you secede, that the central government will use every possible method of forcing you back in, including mobilizing the army and coming to force you back into the state, whether you like it or not, over your dead body. One of the most interesting early attempts at secession in Africa occurred up in West Africa, in Nigeria. Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa, and it's composed of lots of black tribes. But there was one tribe in the south called the Biafrans, and that tribe regarded themselves as sort of superior to the other blacks. They were more functional, and they felt that they were capable of doing more than the other blacks, and that they would be better off if they ruled themselves. So you could say that there were blacks who were black supremacists, in a sense. That's not quite the right definition, but that'll give you an idea. So the Biafrans declared independence, and they seceded from Nigeria in 1967. And what came of it was a 2.5 year war. Interestingly enough, at that time, which is when I was a very young child, Rhodesia and South Africa, the whites of Southern Africa, politically actually supported Biafran secession. In fact, there were quite a lot of whites, even in Europe, that supported the Biafrans. And there were even whites who went to fight on the side of the Biafrans against the rest of Nigeria. And it resulted in a hellish civil war. And in those 2.5 years of war, as you can see here on this Wikipedia page, there were 100,000 military casualties, and there were between 500,000 and 2 million Biafrans died of starvation. And in the end, Nigeria conquered Biafra, crushed them, and forced them back in. Though, even now in the 2020s, the Biafran issue is still not settled. There are still Biafrans who want to break away from Nigeria. And there are other black countries where there's been secessions and civil wars. Secessions have virtually universally in Africa resulted in wars, civil wars that rage on endlessly. So secession is something that a central government will never like and never tolerate, because it means that it's got a new competitor, that a chunk of it has broken off, and that chunk is now independent, and it's not going to like that. So to give you an idea of the secession movement in South Africa, I've got a nice little 8-minute video here. And this is the one that is probably the best, but there are others. And secession is still a topic in Africa. In fact, secession is very likely a topic that could actually spread across every African state, because all African states are composed of multiple tribes who in many cases don't even speak the same language, etc. And then one comes to dominate the other one, and they resent it. But if you watch this 8-minute video, it gives you quite a variety of people in the Cape, whites as well as coloureds, and all those darker people that are talking there, they are virtually all coloureds. And coloureds see themselves as different to the blacks. They are mixed race, as Alex would say, mulatto. So listen to this talk about secession in South Africa and you'll see what a huge thing this is, and that if anybody really goes down this path, this becomes a big thing. But it's allowed by our constitution. Just like secession is allowed in America, it's allowed in Canada, but in reality it's not really allowed. So legally, yes, you're allowed to secede, but in practice, it depends who's got the greatest firepower. But anyway, watch this. This is very good, and this will give you a feel for the power of the secession movement in the Cape. And this video is a year old, and back then already, they were talking about 800,000 people being interested in it.
Supporters of an independent Western Cape attend a march in Stellenbosch on a blistering summer's day. They're calling for the Western Cape province to split from South Africa and become its own country.
And I'm supporting the Cape independence movement today, being part of this march, trying to free my nation, to free my customs and my culture. Because under the DA and the current ANC governments, I don't think they actually have anything or any plan in place.
Today I would like to invite you all to stay. I would like to invite you all to make a difference, to make history in this country.
This idea of Cape independence is not new, but has in recent months garnered more attention.
I mean, we started this 13 years ago. In 2007, people thought we were crazy. Now it is hot, hot, hot. The Cape Party support has absolutely exploded over the last year or two.
Activist organization Cape Exit is also calling for an independent Western Cape and has increased its registrations from 7,000 members to 800,000 members in just 1 year. So what would an independent Western Cape look like? It would be a new country with a new name, flag, government and borders. Just think Lesotho by the sea.
If you want to go from the Western Cape, from Cape Town to Johannesburg, you'll have to have a passport. If you want to come and visit, you'll have to have visas like it would be with any other country, like if you go to Namibia at the moment.
And supporters believe it will be highly successful, with better policing, transport and healthcare, benefiting greatly from not being under the ANC's government's rule and racial policies like BEE.
Because at the moment, it's difficult for us to get a job as a minority in this country. And obviously, I'm not doing it only for my race or any type of race, but for Western Cape, the people of Western Cape.
I believe that Western Cape can be sustainable, self-sustainable. You know, we've got the oceans, we've got the agricultural land, we've got the human capital. We can do this. I think we could turn this into the Monaco of Africa. We could show South Africa how democracy was supposed to work.
The process lives and dies on one principle, that the majority of the Western Cape voters support it. So more than 50% of Western Cape's registered voters, which is roughly 1.6 million people, must support independence. Only then can organizations approach the government and request a referendum. A referendum is a vote on a political question, which in this case would be whether the Western Cape should split from South Africa. Think Brexit. But even if the result of the referendum is in favor of the split from South Africa, the government is still not legally required to act on it, meaning it can simply be ignored. Many believe the government will also not allow a referendum in the first place, which makes sense, as why would the government open up the possibility of losing one of the strongest economies in the country? Independent supporters will then go to the international route, where they will ask the United Nations to get involved. The United Nations can't force South Africa's government to act on anything, but it can make recommendations. But if this too leads nowhere, independent supporters say they will then call on the Western Cape government to declare a UDI, a unilateral declaration of independence. But legal experts say this is a dangerous move.
If they go that route, it could create a civil war, because the army will come in and restore the borders of the country as the constitution proclaimed.
A UDI is a sure way to get sanctions against you, and the very talk of it is completely irresponsible.
I hear so much talk of civil war and violence. I absolutely don't see that. Those that think this isn't a good idea kind of almost want to bully the people that do into not following the democratic process. But that's not the point. This fundamentally is a democratic process.
Other countries have succeeded in independence through a UDI. For example, the United States of America, which split from Great Britain. Belgium, which split from the United Netherlands in 1830, Bangladesh, which split from Pakistan in 1971, and Palestine, which split from Israel in 1988. But the person who would need to allow a referendum in the province is the Western Cape DA Premier, Alan Windey, and he is opposed to the idea.
I hear all this call about secession, but when you analyze the reason, it's a political reason. People are not happy with the politics. Now, the way to deal with politics is not referendums, it's called the ballot. If you want to go down that path, what happens then when suddenly, this independent Western Cape and suddenly Hout Bay says, no, well, they don't want to be part of Cape Town. You know, you're going to have these 1,000 different separate secessions. You're trying to fix a problem with the wrong tool.
When we look at secessions, other secessions that have been successful around the world, they don't happen because the parent state suddenly just decides it's a good idea. Almost secessions always kind of oppose. It ends up being a political negotiation, and fundamentally our rights come because as the people of the Western Cape, all 7 million of us, whatever race we may be, whatever religion we may be, we have a choice to decide for ourselves.
A lot of people that say it's not possible, but can't provide it with the facts, because the constitution allow it, international law, they allow it. So it's definitely possible, and I do believe we will achieve it. It might not be now. This is only a start, but it's a statement.
But those opposing independence believe this whole concept is simply a pipe dream.
In the Western Cape, people would have to set up a border patrol. We can't even keep Sylvester the Lion in the Western Cape. How are we going to keep people from crossing that border? It is well within their constitutional right to advocate for anything they want. I honestly wish them the best, but I do not think they will succeed or secede. I don't think that's on the cards.
If you have a new state, you have to create all the trappings of a new state. It needs to have a military, it needs to have a police force, it needs to have a home affairs, it needs to have all these government functions, which would have to be created from scratch. Practically a nightmare, it's almost impossible to do, but it will cost billions of rands. This is a pipe dream, and it is not going to happen, so that people are not that disappointed when it doesn't happen.
In politics, there's one word you never use, and that's never. All the newspapers says that the ANC will never rule this country. They even wanted to kick Pakbota out for just suggesting there might be a black president sometime. Okay, and today we have a black president.
I don't believe that freedom will be bloodless. I believe that there will be a great cost. Now, I'm asking the people pushing for this freedom, are you prepared to pay that cost? When we speak independence, we have to ask the pivotal question, why are we doing this? We are speaking on behalf of what? 6 million colored people in the Western Cape. What's in it for them? There will be no independence without the colored people. It's just that simple.
I mean, I'm a proud South African. Then I say to myself, well, come on, guys, let's fix the country. That's what we've got to do.
Will people feel they turn their backs on South Africa in terms of patriotism? No, I don't think so. At the moment, we're living from sporting event to sporting event. To actually say this is our identity, this is who we are, it is far beyond that. I think the people out there is praying for a solution to the problems. It's much closer than what people realize.
Hello and welcome to Team White. We're recording this on, let's see, the 23rd of March. Start of spring, the first week of spring. We've got three people with us today. We've got Jan in South Africa, as always, and me in Northeast Missouri, as always. And we've got Alfred is somewhere in Europe, probably in Germany. And we've got Alfred Schaefer, and we've got Monica can't be with us today, but she'll be back on future shows. So this will be the March show. And we're going to talk about a couple of general themes of the locals just being abused in Germany. We're going to get to that. But we're going to start by talking about secession among whites worldwide, but specifically in South Africa, and find out, is there any real chance? We know there's, just to set up, we know there's Urania, We know that that's essentially a private, almost like a country club where you can buy little plots or timeshares in it, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. And we know there's thousands of people who apply to get in there a month. We know there's only 4 or 5 million whites in South Africa. What is the pent-up demand for a whites-only nation? I believe it's absolutely huge, and I wish we could get someone from Orania to go on the record saying, yeah, we have way more applications than we can even barely process each month. It's so desirable to get away from a black majority society. And we all know the reasons why. But Jan, what else is going on in South Africa in relation to secession?
Alex, secession's a very interesting topic here. And where I had a lot of discussions about secession, I actually interviewed my attorney, and I never put out the video. But my attorney actually gave me a lot of inside information on secession. But secession is the big thing. And when the whites took control of, when the whites lost control of South Africa, in the negotiations, they did try to slip a thing in there which the blacks did not like. And they tried to slip a thing in there about secession. And it wasn't properly written about in detail in the Constitution, but there is something there, and it does say in the Constitution that you can secede, but it does, but it's not been fleshed out properly, etc. So that is one thing that whites managed to get in a long time ago, and that is something that is legally there. But when they then continued with the Constitution, they did other mumbo jumbo was put in there. But the bottom line is that there is that category there. So secession is a legal thing that can be looked at. The problem is, as I discussed with my attorney told me that he and a bunch of other Afrikaans attorneys actually went and they wrote a whole, they actually rewrote the laws that would be needed to go into the Constitution that actually would flesh this thing out properly so that this thing can function. Because, like I say, the blacks kind of mucked some things up. But my attorney and the guys that he was involved with, who went and did a whole ton of secession work, they aren't the only attorneys in the country that have done this. There are other groups that have been talking about secession. Now, when I wrote my book back in 2001, in my book Government by Deception, I also spoke about secession. And I specifically spoke about the fact that, as I understand it, whites in the Cape, the Cape being the part of South Africa that has the longest white presence, that there is no, and that whites even got to the Cape before blacks got to the Cape. There were kind of mixed race Khoi there, Khoi and San there, but they are such a teeny weeny non-existent part of the population that they don't count. What the liberals and the Jews try to do is they try to say, oh, well, you see, Khoi and Son are black people, with which they're not. They're not black
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
They're another race.
The basic point is South Africa was essentially deserted, except for some desert Oompa Loompa types that are basically extremely old Bushmen like Aborigines in Australia. And the actual niggers or blacks came in after the humans, mainly the Dutch, secondarily the British, had created something of value that they could pigeon, to turn it into a verb, down south. They swept down from, you know, up the Congo area or up north. And if there had been people there before, they killed them off themselves. Or they even have a word for that. So don't kid yourself that it was anything other than whites making something out of nothing in South Africa.
Well said, Alex. And
like Jan built South Africa, not niggers. They came there after the Jans had built something up. And now they're destroying what the Jans had built, quite literally.
Well, Alex, you've got it nailed. You know, the whites were in the Cape, I did a calculation once. The whites were probably in the Cape for something like 160 or 170 years before they physically had contact with blacks. I mean, can you imagine that? So yes, you're right. So anyway, I wrote about the Cape being one place that nobody can deny that whites were there first. And after I wrote my book, some years later, I began to hear that there is talk about a Cape secession movement. So I'm not sure if my book itself had some impact or whether there was something and it just gained more momentum. But I spoke about that like 20 years ago. Anyhow.
Okay, what year did your book come out again?
In 2001. So,
okay, now the Cape Secession Movement, is that a formal thing? Who heads it? Where is it? How do people get in touch with it?
There's just a concept. There's lots of secession movements, Alex. There have been lots that have come and gone and mutated. I've not been in touch with all of them, but they've changed and they've mutated, and there are lots of them now, Alex. There are all kinds. There's a Cape Exit political party that I think is run by Dr. Peter Hammond, and but there are others now. The next one that I looked at in recent times, where people came to me, was a thing called the ULA, and it's like the Northern Cape. And whites in the Northern Cape, this is very much kind of like semi-desert, etc. But they were the ones, they were the next group. And in my view, they are the group that have done the most work to actually get secession taking off. And it's run by a guy called Hein Marks, who's an Afrikaans guy with a bit of a strange-sounding name. But he was the guy who kind of kicked this thing off, and they did the most legal work. Their guys,
okay, Jan, yes. would it be race specific, race exclusive, or all racial, or these are just like private projects, or
okay,
what?
Let me explain. In South Africa, if you want to do anything that's race specific, that's illegal outright. Period. Okay. So if we were to try and say we want to secede this piece of territory and only whites are allowed to live there, I can tell you there'll be absolute mayhem.
Yeah. Totally. And so Arania gets by because one guy originally bought up all the land and then he sells it or does sort of like a long lease to anyone who comes in, and it's based on not race but protecting the Afrikaans culture.
Right.
So everything else has to follow that kind of pattern. So what would be the selling point of this that you're talking about in the Cape?
Okay. So among the clever things that the Afrikaners tap into is their language. So they look at language. They've looked at language in many parts of South Africa to see if they can use language as a kind of a cover story in order to do something
pretext.
Else. Yes.
Yeah, so, they want to do it race-specific, but it's easier to phrase in terms of culture or maybe even religion. And we also know that attacks – look, just the way the Ukrainians were attacking the Russian language in Donbass and those regions that Russia is in, so the international forces of Jew have tried to drive Afrikaans into the dirt and replace it with English and the African languages. They want to kill off – the Dutch mentality and the Dutch people, and they do that by destroying their political heroes, ripping down their statues, but also destroying the language they use.
Absolutely. So basically what Hein and his people came up with was there in the Northern Cape, the main language is Afrikaans, and there are whites there, and there are coloureds there. And the coloureds who are mixed race, the coloureds also speak Afrikaans. So they started tapping into that. And most of the Cape actually is a lot like that. The coloureds are there and they're mixed race and most of them speak Afrikaans. So anyway, what they then tried to do was they created this thing called the ULA, and they're trying to secede the Northern Cape. But it's mostly rural, and the population – is very low. It's a lot like the Oranje type area, but it's
but in a very different part of the country.
It's to the west of it, and I'm not sure if it actually even overlaps with Oranje. I've not gone and looked into that. But what they
I'm going to look at. Okay.
But what they are getting at is they've done all the legal footwork and they've completed it. There were some other people a couple of years ago, Alex, who tried some kind of secession, but it was a hodgepodge kind of a clown show. And there were people on the white ride who were talking about it, but I never took it seriously because it was much of a clown show. The closest that anybody actually came to doing something physically was there was another guy who had an organization, a very strange organization called USAF, which to me always makes me think of United States Air Force, but it was some other United States of Africa, some freaking silly name. But anyway,
yeah, just to explain, Orania is more or less in the middle of South Africa, and 872 kilometers directly southwest is Cape Town, very at the very bottom and to the west, where the Cape is. You come around from the Indian Ocean into the Atlantic, I think is what it is, and so. It's so, less than 1,000 kilometers apart. There's some way, but anyway, these are two secession things we're talking about. Okay. So what's the total like population down there in this area?
I just want to tell you a little bit about what this one guy did, this USAF guy. The USAF guy also came up with some kind of plan for some, but what he did was it was a white guy, and then he got these coloreds, and he got some freaking colored that that was some kind of chieftain, apparently, or whatever, and he was going to lead this. Anyway, what this white guy did was he actually went through part of the secession process and even lodged stuff, documents with the courts, etc. And at a point, I actually met him, and at a point, he actually...
All right. When did he do this?
This was in about 2018. Roughly,
within the last about 5 years ago, this guy made some legal moves to actually do something.
He made some moves, but it was kind of strange, okay? And then what he did was he had to like start taking control. But it's like a small movement, and he's got his couple of people. At a point, this guy went and he and the coloreds were supposed to go and start taking down the flag in Cape Town, etc. And then the coloreds got scared, and he went and started ripping down the flag, etc. But the whole thing started falling apart. And later on, it was very interesting how the government handled it. The government became aware that this kind of stuff had gone on, and even just taking down the flag was already itself an illegal move. And they were supposed to like lay charges against these guys. But eventually everything sort of faded away. I myself have lost touch with that guy. But this was somebody who actually sort of kind of almost started doing something serious. That's the furthest that anyone's gone physically. Now, returning to the ULA. The ULA are doing it properly by the book. What the ULA have done is they've gone and done proper legal stuff all the way. They've checked the laws and...
Again,
and there's a process.
Yeah, what is? Repeat. Keep repeating it. What does ULA stand for?
Alex, I can't even tell you offhand. These.
Okay, but ULA is active right now.
ULA is active right now.
Which part of South Africa are they trying to set off?
They are there in the Northern Cape, but on the western side. So not quite in the middle, but it's more to the west. Bordering with Botswana. So it's
So they're in the north. Then they must be in the north, slightly west. So
yes,
like what I said before. Imagine like you desert. Can almost cross a straight line from the northeast to the ocean to the southwest from Pretoria, Orania, Cape Town, with Orania just about halfway in between, going from the northeast. Pretoria, Johannesburg, Joburg, Pretoria, Johannesburg, going southwest all the way down to the Cape, and Urania right about in between, just to give you a picture. And that's most of the stuff that we're talking about. Then way over on the east coast is Durban. But those three line up along that axis, understand. So then now what you're talking about, it would be almost like an X, like in a Confederate flag, if you go northwest from Urania up to Botswana. That's where this is going on that you're talking about.
Yes. Anyway, so Alex, what these people have done is they've now started the next steps of the process, which is they're following international rules, and they have to get a thing called a mandate. So the mandate requires that they get people to come and sign up for secession. So my original understanding was that the mandate has to come from people on the ground. So I've got friends who live there as well, who've all signed up, etc. But
do they have to be in that area that they want, or can they be anywhere in South Africa and want that?
That becomes a very interesting topic. We'll get to that. So in the mandate that they've got, they have managed to get 400,000 people to sign up for the mandate. So that is by...
Okay, again, how big is it, though?
That is...
Little bitty thing like Urania, or is it a sizable chunk?
Oh, Alex, we're talking something big, huge. You're talking like... you're talking almost like half of the Cape Province, and the Cape Province is big. It's the biggest province in the country. So you're talking a big chunk of country. So it's not like it doesn't contain any major cities, but there are small towns there, and there are lots of farmers and so forth.
It doesn't look like that's a very – there's not a lot of population out there from what I can see from the topograph.
It's like Nevada maybe, right? So
yeah, you got Kigaligadi Transfrontier Park up around there somewhere. Little bitty towns, Uppington, Kakabas.
Yes. Those are the little places, right? But all in all, I'm not sure the exact population, but you're probably talking like – a million or more people, Alex.
Okay, over a pretty big area.
Over a big area, and it's a real area. So you can see the scale of this is far greater than Urania, okay?
Urania is just a small little thing. You know, it's a little town.
Yes.
This could be a big tract of land. Okay,
absolutely. This thing would be almost the size of some, maybe...
All right, now what basis are they proposing to establish this? On Afrikaans speaking?
Right. So what they've got is they've now said that they're going to their actual political angle is very clever. They are saying that this is for minorities, and that it's for any minority. And so whites already are a minority, and then in there are also coloreds who are also a minority. So they are using minority as the main story for this thing, and they are using this particular piece of territory. So they've got...
A question. I stand for the morons and the people who don't know anything. That's why I'm asking very basic questions.
Go for it.
You got to get that established so they have people have in their mind where this is and how significant it is. When you say colored, are these like Indian, or are they mulattoes, or both?
Colored in South Africa is basically mixed race between white and black. So Indian is Asian. Indian is not regarded.
Okay,
as colored.
Okay, I was for some reason thinking colored meant Asians, but. Okay, so like mulattoes, but then
– yes.
Okay, so then continue. Then they're going to make – okay, this is going to be for minorities,
but now,
demographic minorities, okay, or speaking minorities, or
right.
Both? Or...
So when you want to secede, you have to have a piece of geographical territory. That's your first thing. So you need a chunk of territory – and now you want to protect the people that live in that territory. So that is why they've chosen that particular area, because the existing population in that area may be low, but it's got a lot of whites, a lot of white Afrikaans, and then there are also these coloureds who live there and work on farms, etc. So now you want to grab a chunk of physical territory, and you claim your political line is that you want to protect the people who live there. So there aren't many blacks there. There are very few blacks there. And so that is the angle that they're coming from. So they are saying that anybody can move into the ranks. Anyone can join the organization. It's non-racist.
If they achieved this, what would they get out of it? I mean, they wouldn't be able to exclude people, like block the roads or anything, would they? What would secession actually mean functionally day to day?
Secession means you have your own government, you have your own police, you have your own army. It means that you physically own and control that piece of territory. You make the law in that territory. You're the boss, okay? You make the law. You choose your capital and you say, this is our territory. These are our borders. South Africans, any South African who wants to come in here will have to come through, you know, the border. We'll have to check your passport. Are you allowed in here? You have total control of everything. So you make
okay,
the
but
law.
They still can't exclude blacks, though.
Well, once okay, let's put it this way. Well, let's jump the gun and assume that they're independent.
Yes, sum it up. Sum up what it could lead to. Otherwise, it's just a small little theoretical thing.
If you get your secession and it's legal and it's and you get recognition worldwide, right? Let's say you get your secession pulled off. Then it means that the whites and the coloureds who live in that area can exclude anybody else that they want. They have got total control of their borders, and if anybody, black or white or anyone, wants to move into there, they can say, well, you know, we don't want you here, or this is our policy. That they will have total control. They make the law. They'll be government.
Why is the ANC or the black government going to allow that?
Oh, Alex,
what would they have to gain from it?
They will never allow that, okay? That is part of this issue of secession.
Okay, then what's the point of working for it? What are they hoping to gain? Just filing papers? I mean,
no, okay, let me explain a bit more about secession. The ANC may be the government of this country, okay? But when you truly want to secede, and there have been many secessions, including secessions in Africa, when you truly want to secede, the current state might not want you to secede, and most likely will not want you to secede, and may even attack you if you want to secede. And that is where the game really starts. That's where the game starts. Because secession depends on what can you achieve. What money do you have? What funding do you have? Who's going to fight in your army? And it changes the game completely, because it becomes an issue of who physically will control that piece of territory. So let's say the ANC doesn't like that, but the locals arm themselves up, and the locals and the ANC tells the police. Let's say the ANC issues an order to the police. You got to stop this secession. But the people who are preparing the secession, who have declared let's say they get to the point where they've declared UDI, Unilateral Declaration of Independence. If those whites have declared UDI and they've got their own army and their own police force, and the ANC says to their police force, hey, you've got to go arrest those guys, and those guys are armed, those guys can say to the police, listen, you're not going to arrest us, and if you try, we'll use force against you. You know, so you could end up with a gunfight. You could end up with a gunfight where the South African police try to arrest these guys, and these guys say no, and they're shooting back. So now the game is totally different, because now it becomes an issue of who physically controls this piece of territory. Lots of whites want something, but nobody is just going to do something if they're going to get arrested tomorrow.
Yeah, it wouldn't do anything anyway. It has to be, excuse me, organized. That is quite a rundown. So there's a lot of people in South Africa who recognize it's falling apart in a lot of ways, and they'd be better off breaking up and letting the competent people run stuff on their own. Let's leave it there, and then keep us informed as they develop. I suppose they'll keep filing papers and keep working on it. Now we'll turn to Germany, and one of the big stories in the news recently is a German girl, and Alfred's going to talk about how this is part of a larger problem of Germany is just absolutely being abused by these colored invaders. The Jews have sicked on them right down to the school kid level, as well as being forced to pay for all of it while being richly humiliated by these non-whites. Alfred, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Yeah, you know what's happening,
you know,
right now is
about.
yeah. Well, there's a number of stories, and it's not just in Germany. It's in all the European countries. In fact, you're seeing this thing happening now in all of the white countries, because these invaders, they are feeling very, very strong and powerful, because they see that everything has been rigged in their favor, and it doesn't take long before they sense that and take advantage of it, and they look down into us in disgust, and they mock us because they consider that, or they see us as being weak, stupid, feeble, superstitious, and whatnot, and this is now their chance to take what they have always wanted to take from us now while we're down. But you know, when you're talking about South Africa and talking about what is legal and illegal, don't forget that it is a psychopathic crime syndicate that is telling us what is legal and illegal. For them, it is legal to inject our people with a bioweapon to kill us off, and it is illegal for us to even identify what we are being injected with, and so forth. So these terms, what is legal and illegal, are irrelevant, okay? Now, a lot of people just have not realized that yet, but that what they define as being legal or illegal has got no relevance to what will be taking place and what will be unfolding in the very, very near future, and it's beginning to happen now. What the basic law that we will be coming down to and that will be our law is that which resides in our DNA. And we do not need some Jewish judge or Jewish system telling us what these laws may be. Now, they can, because the Jews will tell us all about, you know, Holocaust denial and blacks are equal to whites and blah, 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 blah. No, we will find our strength in our own DNA, and that's where all the information resides that we need to do, you know, to know what to do when, you know, what needs to be done. And to talk of succession, can you imagine European countries like whites saying, oh, well, we'll pull back into this area because the blacks have taken over our city, so we'll just vacate the cities and leave that to them. No, all these invaders will be escorted out of our territories if they want to survive. If they want to see what happens, if they stay, please be our guests, you know, see what happens. Most wars throughout histories have been race wars, okay? Because you know, you have your home territory, your home country, and you start being invaded by some other tribes from elsewhere. I mean, that's what's happening now. We have been hypnotized and put to sleep while the invaders get flown in with our technology at our expense to displace us. I mean, this is absolutely it goes against every single law of nature that, you know, in existence. So laws on paper which are the Jewish laws, must be seen for what they are. They are blots of toner on paper. They have no relevance for what will be unfolding in the very near future. And when South Africans, for example, start to understand how all of South Africa was basically almost zero population, practically nobody was there, like Jan was describing how many years it took before any blacks at all came down. Well, think back about that. And why did they all come down? It's because the whites in South Africa had built up an infrastructure that enabled these surplus blacks from further north to come down into the south because they were surplus. I mean, they're flooding over.
Well,
they're spilling over for
the same reason pigeons do. There's free popcorn.
Exactly. That's it. And the same thing is happening now. Why do you think all these people – do you see whites flooding down to Lagos in Nigeria? No. Nobody's going to go over there for a free anything because there's nothing to get for free down there. I mean, when I was in prison and there's lots of Negroes in prison here in Germany – and these people, a lot of them are from Nigeria, for example. Now, they would rather be in a German prison than anywhere else because they get it doesn't rain into their cell when it's cold and rainy outside. They get fed, and that is a luxury they get nowhere else. They'd rather be in a prison in Germany than on the streets in Italy, for example. And the worst place for them would be back home where they came from because their own people hate them like you can't even imagine. That's their like they want them back about as badly as you would go to the sewage treatment plant to ask for your shit back. You don't want it back. This is surplus. These are all surplus, just surplus. I mean, that's it. And if we in fact are too feeble to recognize that and think that because the Jews have got blots on toner written that we are not allowed to speak up, well, that's okay. Then we will become exterminated. If that's how feeble we truly are, then we will get the fate we deserve. That's the law of nature. There's no sentimentality there.
Well, Jews never respected our laws, but they expect us to respect their laws. So, the game is ultimately nature and extinction. And even those Nigerians you mentioned, they invade South Africa. So South Africa, as bad as it is still better than Nigeria. They do have an endless stream of population they can send everywhere.
And you cannot be sentimental when it's time to clean the house. These Negroes flooding down from the rest of Africa. They will either be shown the door and bye bye, or the South Africans will die. I mean, the white South Africans will not survive. You cannot survive fast breeding, low IQ, savages, if you will. Completely consumed with hatred for and jealousy for the success of the whites. I mean, that's what we're dealing with, and that's people who are less successful because they just don't have it in them to do it will always hate those who are more successful and do anything they can to kill them and steal the goodies kind of thing. So that's what we're dealing with. All the white people throughout on this planet right now, we are facing an existential threat.
Yeah, and they but tell us about this. The big thing in Germany was a schoolgirl was stabbed by, and they were really, of course, like they do. They're trying to hide the pictures of the ones who stabbed her. I couldn't tell if they were Germans. They look kind of non-German.
Germans do not go around stabbing other Germans. That is basically an unheard of thing. Oh yeah, sure, you might find a case, here or there, every 10 years or something. But what's happening now is this is becoming routine, everyday behavior in our schools, on our streets, in all of our countries. Look at the United Kingdom. Look at France. Look at Spain. All of our countries. We are all now being subjected to the same horrible. A degrading humiliation of having these surplus refuse from the third world slums coming into our countries, and we are too feeble to even face them down. We are crawling on the floor, crawling on the ground, worshiping some silly Holocaust and being called racist or something just because we want to stand up. I mean, this is the absolute low point that we have reached in all of our history, I dare to say. And okay, these kids from these invaders, they are feeling emboldened to do what they are doing because of the no resistance. I mean, it's a game for them. Their heads are swelling up. Their chests are swelling up with pride, and they're gloating about how they can take us down, take us out. And they're being taught to do that by their, you know, imams and their Jewish masters and so forth. I mean, this is like I say, the Jews do not fight their own wars. They get others to do it for them. And the Jews have been gloating since the end of what we call World War II that now the destiny of the white race is in their hands. And I remember when we were children years and years ago, we used to hear, you know, that the last phase of the Jews exterminating anybody is always to open the floodgates and let in the barbarians. Well, that's exactly what we're seeing now. This is not a story from, you know, Alice in Wonderland or Alibaba and you know, whatever. This is our world. This is our civilization now. So either we wake up and do whatever it takes to resolve the issue, or we go down. That's the situation we have. This is a do or die situation, a life and death struggle. Them or us. And yet all the other races expect no less from us than to get this job done in our interests, because nobody wants to be left alone on this planet with the Jew, because the Jew, after he's done away with the white race, will take on whoever steps up as the next best of the Goyim. I mean, that's their operating code. That's their code of behavioral codex, if you will, that's written up. It's all spelled out in their Talmud. It's all spelled out in the protocols. There's no secret to it. And they're gloating about it. And now they see victory at hand. They're dancing on the streets in Israel, you know, celebrating this. But I'll tell you a piece of good news I just heard very recently is an Israeli minister had said that civil war in Israel is now very, very, it's right there at hand. Like the Israeli society is also beginning to go absolute insane and crazy because their own radicals are just too radical for all the others, kind of thing. And my big hope right now is that Israel will itself, go down in a civil war right now to take the heat off of, you know, the planet, kind of thing. Because yeah, this is it. Like, we are in a real conflagration. Like, we have not, this planet has not seen in its entire history, I would say.
I do. Yes. I do enjoy seeing when there is trouble inside Israel. You know, then I look at these Jews and these know-all Jews who apparently know how to do everything, and you see how much they scream at each other and they and the Arabs. It's awesome.
Well, yeah, looking at the global picture, and the Chinese just brokered peace between, who was it, Saudi Arabia and Iran. So I think that brick by brick, you're starting to see, as a result of this nasty war that the Jews instigated, Russia and China are coming together more solidly. Both of them are aware of what Jews are up to. And because the Chinese realize if the neocons can take out Russia, then they're going to come after China. And so they're going to be willing to supply them the weapons they need to win that war. And you have a perfectly even divide between – it's really remarkable, the people lying about Russia winning versus – or the people lying about Ukraine winning versus the ones who claim Russia is winning. And I believe the ones who say Russia is winning. And then people get mad and say you're a shill for Putin. But although Putin is not free of Jewish influence, he is the more pro-white side in this. Than Ukraine, which is just going to spread what they call democracy, where everybody's thrown in jail and you're powerless to resist these multicultural invasions like we're talking about. So we want to see Russia win. I believe they are winning, but China's trying to build a more peaceful world and the brick and road deal and get people developing economically rather than invading everywhere. The U.S. has bases all over the world practically. But their proxy in Ukraine is going down, and it's funny because they continue to lie about it. But the best I can tell, Russia is winning, and after that, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be interesting because the USA continues to fall apart along the same gradients we've discussed on literally every single show. I mean, the money is falling apart. They're trapped, as Max Kaiser, who's not a Jew, always said, you can't taper a Ponzi, and they're stuck because they printed so much money. And then it causes inflation, and now they try to raise the interest rates to combat the inflation, but they can't do it enough. The inflation is still there. Interest rates are now rising. It's just become a really pretty ridiculous country, and there are loads of people who know what needs to be done, but they can't get into any position of power. And even when Trump did, and he had a lot of the right instincts, but he didn't even have enough people around him to do what he wanted. And he's not all that systematic. So, you know, he ended up giving the power back to the usual neocons, including his own Jewish relatives. But like I said, the job one was he had the election stolen from him. He couldn't even get lawyers to fight it because their peers said they will blackball you if you even dare to represent Trump in court. So the voting and the rest of that, the left is going to perfect this stealing of elections. We've seen Trump. We saw the woman in Arizona. I don't know what else. It strikes me as one good thing is that they're losing in Ukraine.
Alex, if you look at first of all, we have the fiat money system that we have been dependent on for way too long is now doing what every fiat money system does. It has an end of life date, and that has been that's way behind us now. The money system is imploding. That's game over. And don't forget that Zelensky, he's a Jew, and he was. He got accolades and got praised by Israel for getting the Jews out of Israel fast before all the fighting started, kind of thing, while he has made it illegal for Ukrainians to leave the country. So he is the Jew who is responsible or taking the challenge to get as many goyim to kill each other as possible while raking in all this money. You know, the arms industry is making, getting rid of all their old inventory there, you know. So you got white people killing white people. The Jews are rubbing their hands. That is, this is the reality that is unfolding right now.
Well, yeah,
every single
Ukraine
day that
Ukraine is gang pressing young kids like Germany did at the very end of World War II. You know, they got young teenagers and old people trying to, in that case, defend themselves, but they are gang pressing them, going out and grabbing them off the street to serve as cannon fodder in Bakhmut, where they're lasting 4 hours and getting slaughtered. So these fucking Jews are all getting rich and buying up big palaces in Switzerland and Israel while whites are dying.
Exactly. This is
why are whites dying for these Jews in Israel? Did they, of all people, the Ukrainians should have learned something from the 20th century.
I know. Well, all the white people should have learned something. Let's just go back to Rabbi Reichhorn's statement where he says, war is the Jews' harvest. They slaughter each other by the score, and we take control of their gold. And that makes more space for our people. I mean, this is Rabbi Reichhorn in 1859 or something like that, long before the world, so-called world wars, and they were gloating and celebrating the fact we have already killed over 100 million of them, you know, the goyim, and we get control of their gold, and they slaughter each other. War is the Jews' harvest. This is a harvest time for the Jews. So they're celebrating and dancing, but this is always
overreaching, you mean?
Overreaching, yeah. And this is always the condition just before the fall. The Jews overextend themselves, and then everybody wakes up, and this is now all coming back down on them. And we're also
look at the arrogance to blow up the Nord Stream
It's insane.
A point McGregor makes is they just had a German ironworks that's been in business since 1380 or something closed its door because the energy prices are too high. They're deindustrializing Germany. They're stealing that or forcing the big ones on BASF to move to China. They're completing the ruination of Germany. And the point McGregor keeps making, he's one of the more reliable analysts. He leaves a Jew out, but he's got the rest right. It's natural for NATO to come to an end. You have got to have some actual German men, some German patriots, come to the fore and end the attacks on the women and children and end the deindustrialization. And Germany is the kind of the main industry in Europe. And the USA just screwed them by blowing up their allies' pipeline. And now their industry is going to go to the U.S. They're forcing them to buy high-priced liquefied natural gas from the U.S. It's like, I don't know, five times more expensive. Then they should trading with Russia and getting low price gas and running their industry. You've got to get Germany and Russia's trying to stabilize things and just, you know, develop economically, leaving the Jew aside. You've got to get German patriots come to the fore somehow, because all you have now are these absolute garbage vassal state weaklings like Olaf Scholz and Baerbock and the rest of them are absolutely contemptible. They sold their people down the river. They're destroying their own nation. Okay.
I'll tell you the hatred that is now growing against these people, Olaf Scholz and Baerbock, this is going into an absolute hysterical, explosive level now, and this is basically the final assault at against the European peoples by deindustrializing Germany. And the United States is, I mean, if you look what's happening in the United States, it is no better. I mean, this is the assault against the white race, and actually it's an assault against Western civilization that we are now experiencing. Yeah. And like you said, it's not only the German men, it's all white men have got to grow a backbone, grow some balls, and just step up and start to understand what's going on, and don't take any of these lies, you know, like submit to any of these lies. Stand up anytime and everywhere.
We hear this show is called Team White. We represent whites. We are talking about actual white racial interests. Literally every single white skin, as I call the ones who are biologically white, but politically they're anti-white. The white skins are all conservatives. They all serve the Jew. They're all Christians in Congress. These people have sold you and your race and your family down the river in order to further their own personal career serving the Jew. They're all traitors, all along the model of Winston Churchill, who they consider a great hero, but in fact was a sellout who destroyed Britain and destroyed Europe by working with the Jewish communists and the Jewish Americans to overcome the Aryan Renaissance that would have protected Europe. There wouldn't be any of this childhood stabbing or grooming over in England or stabbings in France and Spain. There wouldn't be any of that if Hitler had protected Europe and the U.S., the bad guys, hadn't signed up with the ultimate bad guys in the USSR that Putin's trying to recover from. They have huge alcoholism and divorce and abortion over there, and they've tried to – that's why I give him some leeway. He's trying to crawl back from what the Jews did to the Soviet Union, the first place they really took over and took off, these Jewish gangsters. Now they're trying – now they've switched sides over to the U.S. They all came over here, and now the USA leads the global Jewish crusade against whites. This is what we're fighting, and real politicians would be saying exactly the same thing that we are to you on this show. Understand that. Go ahead, Alfred.
Yeah, it's Winston Churchill, who, when we were growing up, you know, as I was a kid in Canada, for example, he was always portrayed as, oh, he's, you know, Winston Churchill, the big hero, and oh, he was like a god kind of thing. And now, I mean, it's been so clearly exposed that he was the greatest war criminal that has ever come out of Europe. He has got more European blood on his hands than any other human being. So this is this is the reality that we have to come to terms with. And it's interesting now to see how the Jewish press is fanatically trying to criminalize any deviation from the false narrative of the world wars, defining the First World War as being, oh, it's been a terrible tragedy kind of thing without blaming anybody, and then calling the Second World War a continuation of this tragedy, because they understand slowly that they cannot continue this blaming the Germans, but they're trying to define it as just a tragedy that kind of happened, like a car accident or something, to deflect any blame away from themselves. And we all know how the Jews had fomented and engineered not only the world wars, both one and two, and now number three, but they were fomented the French Revolution. They fomented the communist revolution in the Soviet Union, and so on and so on. Like this is a global problem that goes back actually thousands of years, if you will, because ever since we have been using money to as a placeholder for our real value. These people have developed this behavioral codex that makes them enables them to live off of other people as parasites by controlling the money, by controlling the laws, and by controlling our beliefs and superstitions, kind of thing. So, you know, if the Romans 2,000 years ago were warning about the money lenders and how they are a plague, a scourge, well, that's going back 2,000 years, and it may seem like a long time for us, but the Romans back then could go back from that point in time 2,000 years to the ancient Egyptians, and even there it was the high priests that took down the old Egyptian empire, if you will. I mean, the Egyptians of today did not build those pyramids and did not build all those fantastic monuments and so forth. Going back, I mean, there are mummies and so forth who have red hair and blonde hair. So those were, you know, once we can truly find out what our history was and where it comes from. These were our ancestors that built those pyramids and those monuments and so forth. And then the same in Roman, you know, the Roman Empire. And then that was taken down and destroyed. And now we're seeing the Western civilization, you know, as we call it, being taken down and destroyed. Either we learn from the past and deal with it, or we will become extinct.
Well, Alfred, the lesson from the past is that we need to stick together racially. I did a whole video with a bunch of stuff about our 40,000 years of history, and I went through all the different things that we did, and you can see clearly that you've got to stick together racially. And anyway, we were everywhere. Alfred, did you get to see that video that I put out, the conspiracy against Germany, that's based on that thing, the war that had many fathers?
Yes, I've been looking at that, and that is so important. It's absolutely vital that everybody understands the causes and effects of everything that happened in these what we call World War One and World War Two. So I've seen your video, and it's an excellent work, and it's just so insulting to see how people like Angela Merkel, you know, in her speech there not many years ago, you know, oh, the blaming, how, you know, blaming Germany and how Germany in, you know, started this war and all that, this absolutely wretched, lying propaganda of the Jew, the Bolshevik Jew Angela Merkel, and this is like blaming the raped and murdered little girl for giving her the blame for her own death and rape, kind of thing. This is what people like Angela Merkel, you know, the occupying Jewish parasitic forces or power, this is how they do it. They infiltrate the host population. Well, they've done it now with all of our countries. None of our countries are run by those people who, like nationalists, like the United Kingdom is not run by Englishmen. It's run by, you know, a Pakistani or something now, and by the Jews. I mean, these are people who are just obeying the Jew. And the United States is not run by Americans. The United States is run by Jews and people bidding the Jews, doing the bidding and parroting the propaganda lies that have been, indoctrinated into their brains. So yeah, this is but yeah, that's a very important video you made there, Jan. I think it's very good.
Yeah, Alfred, it was the best documentary that I'd ever seen that anyone's done about the detail of, you know, the diplomacy of World War II. And you know, I've gone through that thing about three times, and I must tell you, it's so jam packed, and it's from that book by that German general, and everything that I've seen in there, everything is totally correct. That the guy did his homework like I've never seen, and yeah, it's a whole puke fest to listen to Merkel at the beginning and end of that. Oh, Germany, and only Germany. Germany is the only one, and it brought all this trouble to everybody. Oh, gosh, shut your stupid trap, you idiot.
You know, it's so disgusting. I'll tell you, see what's happening now. It doesn't only happen to me, but it's happening to everybody who is now waking up and understanding. It triggers an allergic, revulsive emotions when one hears how we have been mocked, how we have been taken for absolute fools, for idiots. And I'll tell you, our enemy couldn't have done us a bigger favor than to roll out this COVID corona genocide against the entire world's population now, because that will either kill us or wake us up. There's no coming out of that, out of this story now, unscathed. Like, either people wake up and understand that to give their that whatever's left of their lives any meaning, any value, it means to take care of this new account now that we know. You know, now we know what's happened. It sort of unravels all the lies that came before, and now the people who let themselves be injected with this rat poison, they don't have much time to settle the score. So that's what we're seeing now. And I'm seeing it here now, where people who had been, you know, leading, you know, good citizens here and there, and so, and were everywhere, and they're beginning to understand what they've been injected with, and they completely change. They become crazy, berserk, just crazy with rage, with anger. That's what's happening. And that's not going to go, oh yeah, that's happening everywhere. People starting to use language that you would never have heard them use before. Like, just that's how angry they are. You know, they go from being a polite, normal, you know, politically correct kind of an individual to a raging powerhouse of anger, you know. And when this happens across our, when everybody, because there's going to come a point in time where nobody will want to be seen as being too stupid to have figured it out. When everybody has got this figured out, so that's going to happen very, very quickly now, then you will see things that you could not have dreamed of before. Just like the people when they were bombed in Dresden in 1945 could not imagine that kind of terror bombing coming down over their heads, as we know then happened. So the reaction that we can expect once everybody has figured out what's happened is something we cannot possibly describe today, because it's just going to be of biblical proportions. It's going to be amazing.
Well, Alfred, I'm going to add in something else, and that is the economics. I've been looking at the economics with America and those two. The banks that have collapsed aren't that important, but that VBS, was it VBS? Silicon Valley Bank, SVB.
Yeah.
That was an interesting thing that collapsed, though it's a bit of a dodgy bank. But I've seen that it sent like shockwaves through the system. And the interesting thing that I'm watching is I've had this question for economists, and I've asked people who are into investment, been asking them for a couple of years now, saying to them, you know, these prices are going up and America is just functioning on the stock market must keep on going up forever. And that is not possible. That's not possible. And I was watching a Fox News thing where a certain female economist was talking. And she then said that we're back, a couple of people have now started saying that we're back to 2008. And she specifically said the everything bubble has started collapsing. And I think that is such a nice term, the everything bubble, because
yes,
and all these things are so interlinked. You know, if the American market crashes at 10 o'clock, an hour later, South Africa's crashing. We're all interlinked. So when they go down, we all go down. And even that that Silicon Valley Bank, with it crashing, even though it's not huge, even banks in South Africa, all the major banks, lost 3% of their stock prices the very next day. So I'm like watching all this crazy shit, and it looks to me like it's going to be pumping up the economy again. They're just going to lower the Fed's just going to lower their rates at some point. Then they're going to start pumping up the bubble again. And this particular woman was saying she thinks that the stock market will drop by about 30% later this year. That was her prediction. So I want to see how this year goes. So what I'm getting at is that if stock markets go down and businesses start shutting more, Alfred, add that into your COVID mix. When people start losing their jobs, okay, and they're going bankrupt, add that to some Jew anger coming there.
That's just it. Like it is a what you call a perfect storm. Any one of these factors would be a huge storm, but they are all coming together. And this is something that nobody can ignore it anymore. And then when everybody's in extreme pain and they see who is roaming our streets, all of these invaders who have been mocking us and beating down on us, this is going to trigger a certain reaction. And I was glad to be in the 4 years I spent in prison. I would never be able to understand so many of the things I do understand now had it not been for that time in prison. And I can tell you in no uncertain terms that these invaders, they hate each other more than we can even imagine. And the only thing that keeps them sort of operating as a unified group is they do that as long as the feeding frenzy that is happening at our expense is continuing. And once the feeding frenzy stops because everything breaks down, they will be killing each other like you cannot imagine. And they will be crawling to us, trying to help us, because they were all very supportive of me just for me talking clearly with them and understanding what's going on. So they are only beating down on us now in our schools and so forth because we are in the schools and so forth, they're weak. The people, the politically correct people are weak and they are being despised for their weakness. But once the balance or the conditions change, the whole mix changes. And that is why we have got no time to lose in understanding what's going on. Understand all the facts, talk clearly, do not bow down to any illegal laws defining you have to worship the Holocaust and suck on Jew cock or something like that. No, we don't do that. We define these lies as they are. We define the world wars what they are, and understand that we are in the crosshairs to be exterminated, and we either stand up or we go down. And like Alex, you were saying before, all these people who are these Christians and so forth in the U.S. who are Israel firsters, they are committing high treason by turning off their brains, and they can figure out what they want to do: turn on their brains or account for high treason when this goes over, because people are waking up fast.
Yeah, and the people. Don't think about what Hitler said was, I'll follow the laws as long as the state does. Now, does any Western so-called state follow the laws? I will refrain politely from laughing. You listening should focus on what is effective in your personal life and your political efforts. That's all I would say on that front. But yeah, I continue to battle the Christians and the Christian mentality. I believe it's one of the greatest defenses Jews have is this association between Jews and God that comes in with the Jesus-ism. And Christianity is just another ism Jews created that obscures the reality of Jews.
The Old and the New Testament is is the code of behavioral behavioral codex for the parasite-host relationship. The Jew is a vile hate and revenge, and the Christian is, oh, you can slap me on my right cheek and I'll show you my left cheek. You see, it's like love your enemy more than yourself and all this stuff. It is basically how we have been marinated to be devoured and eaten up. That's what it is. Oh, and the Christians always preach about, oh, yes, we're all equal in the eyes of God. Oh, really? No. You know, this is the nonsense. At the same time that we are supposed to all be equal, the goyim is less than the dirt beneath the fingernail of a Jew. So we have to expose that for what it is. And the Christian faith has basically been a usurpation of our own pre-Christian moral codex, and they kind of put their, you know, defined the normal natural proper behavior. You know, you should not kill and you should not steal and all that kind of stuff. I mean, any good civilization has these same behavioral laws as their behavioral codex. So this thing claiming, oh, only good Christian values will keep us, you know, being a good people and so forth. What utter nonsense. I mean, that's what we have to come out of and unravel this.
South Africa shows you where that mentality leads. It's universalism, and it doesn't work. I mean, because not all other people share those same values. The Jews have a dual code that they operate by. Meanwhile, they create and propose this universalist moralism for us. And that conduces to our destruction because, you know, any group other than being on Team Jesus is invalid and race doesn't matter or it doesn't exist. Well, you start believing those things. That's how you get where we are today. Yeah. And pretending that Jews are individuals rather than functional members of a team that's attacking us. That's a different species. And this is what they use. They use lies and trickery and deception. And that's their way of conquering us because, you know, they don't have the numbers to go in a full-fledged, all-out physical assault that's easily identifiable and defeatable. So they do it with cunning and word tricks. And we see it works very effectively. And that's our process, is to explain to you what's going on. We use our Aryan minds to understand what's going on, to understand the challenge presented and what we need to do to defeat it. That's what we're here to talk to you about. And the rest of these are just examples that fill out the general pattern and show you that it's worldwide and show you the different fronts this racial war operates on, whether it's feminism or invasion or sexual perversion / homosexuality. The Jew is operating across an entire range, filling your head with disinformation through the media that they control. And they have all the mass media in all the West. So this is a little outlet that can hardly exist without being deplatformed to tell you what's actually going on. And the people that you look to for political leadership should be saying the exact same things we're saying here. And the fact that they don't, that they tell you only that which the Jews force them to tell you, pay them to tell you, is why everything that comes out of any official politician is so destructive. You know, Trump's going to save it. Trump, what did he have, a platinum plan for blacks? And what for whites? A pay-up plan. You know, it's all we ever get. They get the partying and we get the bill. You know, that's all it ever amounts
to. Totally. Yeah, so Alfred, about non-whites not liking each other. In South Africa, they're busy chasing Zimbabweans out again. The Zimbabweans fled here because they destroyed the farmers, the white farmers. Now the Zimbabweans are taking the jobs of the local blacks. The local blacks, sometimes, Alfred, you won't believe it, they freaking kill them. You should see some of the film footage. It is nasty. And you know, these blacks, that piece of film footage of that little German girl being beaten up in Germany, well, That is now nasty, what's happening to that little German girl. But Alfred, you should see some of the film footage that comes from Africa. You will not believe your freaking eyes. These people, they set each other on fire. They stab each other. You won't believe it, man. I must do some videos where you actually see it. You won't believe your eyes. It's so hideous. But that film footage. But these people are stupid, and they don't care. And you know what? They get crazier. The more problems they have, the nuttier they get. These people are such idiots. And you know, if only whites would understand. Rule number one: stick together. Stick the hell together. If we just stick together, nothing else matters, and we'll quickly be on top of it all. But as Alex says, you know, the Jews use trickery. Before I forget, about Silicon Valley Bank, I came across something that hours.
Oh, before, yeah, we totally forgot that. Glad you brought that up.
It just hours in those final hours as SVB was collapsing. Listen to this. Freaking Jews in Israel set up like a emergency kind of a thing. And Jews were pumping $1 billion out of Silicon Valley Bank in the final hours to get it to Israel just before the thing wiped out. I came across that. I was like, oh, you know, there you go.
They siphoned it out knowing it was going bankrupt. And the head of that bank was named Becker, and I believe he's a Jew, even though that's like a German name. And also, of course, they're all going to get bailed out by the hardworking poor people of the country, whatever are left of those in the USA. So it didn't take within 24 hours and the Fed was going to backstop them. So effectively, they'll bail out any bank that goes bankrupt. But screw the other people, inflation and high taxes. So it's ridiculous.
Alex, it can only make people more and more angry as people lose money, lose their jobs, lose their businesses.
The top of the system is stealing from the bottom 99% 100% of the time. It's just out and out financial theft. Fiat, Alfred mentioned. That's it. It's dwindling down and going into, I don't know how long it'll take. I don't want to say death spiral because that sounds like it's going to crash in 2-3 minutes. But for my whole life, it's been getting worse and worse and worse and worse in every degree across the board. So at some point, you would think it's going to crash. So protect yourself as you can. You know, gold's been going up. Bitcoin started going back up. I don't know what you like, but make sure you translate your green paper into some kind of asset that's worth having if the whole system goes shot. Okay. I don't care whether that's a bunch of cantaloupe you can eat. This whoever left holding the bag of this green paper is going to be screwed because they are inflating it to where you got bricks of it in the gutter. I don't know when that will happen. That's the key thing. But that it will happen is absolutely known by history. It always happens with fiat. Always.
Yeah. Just look back at Weimar Germany, you know, when you'd have to take a wheelbarrow full of paper money to buy a loaf of bread. This is the value. This is what the value of our fiat money is going to be in short order. It is completely it's in hyperinflation mode now. It's beginning and it's going to get extremer and extremer. And the people
say it's heading that direction. There's a technical meaning of hyperinflation. I don't know what it is. It's like. So I don't use that word unless it literally is. But then again, we don't know exactly what inflation is because they don't count it correctly. They fiddle like lies, damn lies statistics. They fiddle with all economic statistics exactly the way they do with health stuff. And so that if someone like me, a good, innocent, honest, simple-minded fellow, relies on their literal cold statistics, he gets burned because they can't even be – they can't even be relied on to provide CDC the statistics about people getting the flu in the winter. They can't. They lie about it. It's all lies. So the truth – and what's the truth? I don't know. I don't know what the truth is. I just know it's not what they say. I don't have a way of personally collecting flu statistics, and I don't think anybody does. But whether it's crime, whether it's flu, whether it's money, they are not telling the truth about anything. And everything they do benefits the over-political class that is directed and dominated by Jews, and the rest of them are all the butlers for Jews, all these congressmen and the rest of these clowns, like Josh Hawley from my state, you know, just utter pro-Israel clowns serving themselves by ruining our nation that we built.
Yeah.
The ground up. It's sickening. And until we realize we have to have a state that is racially exclusive, that is run by people where being anti-white is a capital crime. I mean, any kind of talking, absolutely, let alone acting against the racial basis of the state is a capital crime. Yes. You get hanged for it. Then we become serious people once again.
Yeah, that's true. You're spot on.
I'm a freaking clown. I love freedom and dancing around and having fun and being crazy. But you need a few laws, and they got to be iron executed, and that's one of them. Yep. We're going to have a racial state, and you're not going to be allowed to destroy it, or we'll shoot you. That simple. That's what I want, and I think probably you guys want that too.
Absolutely, that's coming. That's the natural order yes, in nature. I mean, and that is coming because now we are now being shown what happens when we do not control our own destiny. So once we get control over our own destiny, which is only a matter of a short time from now, then that these are the kinds of laws that will prevail. And there will be no – and all these people who have misbehaved in these days now, they will have no place in that state. That's the way it is. That's the law of nature.
Something I forgot to add in, guys, is with that thing of the rich stealing from the poor, Alex, I've seen a bunch of stuff. There was a video I put out recently that I called The Art of Mismanagement, and it's about Jews and the top. And in there, I had a very interesting news report from India, which came from European sources. And what it was they scientists were studying management and were studying, you know, whether there's a relationship between IQ and income. And they found that, yes, the cleverer you are, the higher your income up to a point. And then beyond that point, there's no relationship between IQ and income. And I thought to myself, well, there's your Jewish conspiracy right there. Because clearly, I've been saying it for years, there's a glass ceiling and so forth. But listen to this. They then went on to say that the rich are making, the billionaires, the billionaire class are making a $1 billion profit a day. The billionaires are growing richer by $1 billion every day. And then they spoke about the rich of the world, and that their total assets is something like $26 trillion. And you know, another thing I want to tell you, from my understanding of economics and market crashes, is that in economic hard times, the rich, the super rich, get richer. They get richer faster in stock market crashes while everybody else is being wiped out.
Well, they do blood in the streets, Jan. That's when you buy when stuff is way, way down. That's how they get rich. Well, they also get rich by through the state, like Warren Buffett. So that's why they don't like crypto, because they want fiat to continue. But to the extent they do honest investing, yeah, they buy. You got to do the opposite of what the public is doing. And when people are super scared, that's when you buy. And when people are super greedy, like when Bitcoin was 60,000, that's when you sell. Or you don't buy, you just hold and wait for it to go down. That's a basic of investing. You got to be contrarian to what the public is doing, because the public is going to lose most of the time, as we've tried to tell you here. But IQ, you know, You can have blacks or standards, not both. And wherever Jews force blacks into white areas, the living standards go down in those cities because you can't exclude the uncivilized savage blacks. But also intellectual matters, like California just criminalized like testing black IQ, so you can't call them special needs, so you can't group them into different classrooms, thereby impeding whatever intellectual value there is in a California public school education, which never was much, but now will be even 10 times worse. Every sort of basic civilizational building block becomes impossible when you try to mix blacks with whites and you deny that IQ exists. And let me make a point here. You know I'm on the anti-Christian crusade. Well, E. Michael Jones, the main Catholic intellectual, I would just call him an ideologue he's legitimately an ideologue, legitimately a historian. His fans will call him a philosopher, but I don't think an ideologue can be a philosopher. But he denies that IQ exists, even. So you have.
No.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. He said it just the same way he says
an
African can become a Polack. So my point is the secondary level of this, we can all see the Jew and we keep harping on that, and that is correct. But the Jew's main defense is creating Christianity, which doesn't value race, and it leads to utter intellectual absurdity, confusion, and obscurantism to where you can't say like, look, man, you guys are just rejecting basic biology. When you have these patterns that go over and over and over and they're found everywhere in the world, that hints at some biological commonality on the part of the people acting this way. This is how blacks act in South Africa. It's how they act in Iceland. It's how they act in Poland, in Germany, in England, in the USA. And see, they always like to like the gun violence, you know, oh, America has a gun problem. No, it doesn't. America's white citizens are, if anything, slightly less violent than white Europeans. The problem is entirely racial. But Christianity is an ideology that helps the Jews promote these.
Are you there?
Problems.
I can't hear him. Oh, there he is.
More morality problems. Oh, you bet. Yeah, we're just talking about the erasing of standards. So now California, at the same time they're talking about, they on video saying like, if you give us, you know, 5 million in reparations, we'll quit having our kids tear Heidi. So admitting what they're doing in California. And California also like outlawed, I think it was, testing of black IQ.
Wow.
May have to go into special needs.
That is so busy. That is
crazy.
Yeah, you can have blacks or standards, but not both. But my point is, from these black political ideologues, you also have the top Catholic intellectuals saying that IQ doesn't exist. They're denying basic biology. Christianity, it either denies outright or hugely devalues biology. Their biggest hate figure, it's not the devil, it's not Jews, it's not anything other than Charles Darwin. Whether Darwin's right or not, they hate Darwin more than any other man. Why? Because he's trying to explain what the world rationally rather than using a Jewish superstition and myth.
Well,
you know,
my front. I'll keep plowing it though.
Yeah, but there's so many subjects where there's a mixture of truth and lies, and if somebody who's fairly good at explaining a lot of things comes and tells us there's no such thing as IQ, it's like and that's just utter nonsense. I mean, it's just a ridiculous piece of nonsense that has been stated there. There's no IQ. Anybody who's lived with these Negroes will know that there are huge differences. I mean, massive differences. It's just like there's a difference between a racehorse and a plow horse. There's a difference between a seagull and a sparrow or something. I mean, there's just differences, and the difference between the races are so obvious. And if someone says IQ is one of them. We don't have to waste any time discussing that. Anybody who claims there's no such thing as IQ has just missed something very fundamental.
Well, I agree. That's intellectually important. We don't have to waste time. The problem is these people are – this mentality that Christianity spreads is hugely influential. It's in and it's influential in the right-wing people who would otherwise be with us. but they believe, oh, you're immoral if you dare to defend your – what value does race have? It has no value. It's just how much Catholicism or Christianity you've been exposed to that determines your civilizational level. They will literally argue that. So that's why I attack it, because, I mean, to me it's obvious that they try to drive out biology with moralizing.
And yeah, Alex,
moralizing is the only way you're allowed to work at the world, through Christian morality. It's like, that doesn't work.
I must say, I view morality as a serious problem. Morality should be in group only. All morality is in group for us.
And it's natural. It pertains to everyday life, and morality is basically naturally there. See, they believe it's external software that has to come from their church, or else it doesn't exist at all. But that's not true. And when they try to claim it's absolute, well, the Jews don't share it. It's not absolute. It differs by people. Whites act differently among whites than blacks do among blacks, than Jews do among Jews or non-Jews. So it's not universal at all. It's related to the species in question. This is the most powerful Jewish ideology is Christianity, and it should have been called Christianism, because it'd be easier to equate with communism, which is another and related in that family of Jewish isms that they use to dominate whites and get them focused on nutty ideologies rather than, look, just let's just keep it low key, and this is our race, and this is what we need to prosper, and these people are attacking and destroying us, using these bogus ideologies and getting you to sign up for them and to kill off your own kind.
I always define these religions as an outsourcing of a good part of your thinking, you know, because these religions will define a whole areas of our reality and basically prescribe how you're supposed to think about these things. So it's an outsourcing of your brain, you could say, you know, a good part of your brain. And that makes us more pliable for the parasite Jew to do to us what he's been doing to us. Yeah.
And although it is ironically funny that some of them, I've known two or three who they work for like Habitat for Humanity, or they did a church group mission somewhere. They build blacks for the houses for these blacks who are literally sitting around just looking at them laughing. And that's made racialist of more than one person that I personally know. It's kind of funny, actually. But a lot of times a really insane ideology. And I grew up in one, and the version of the Christian church I went to, it's so insane that it drives you the other way. And my natural impulse was always toward reality. Yeah. So I'm a realitarian, and I don't, you know, say, hey, you claim this, but it's circular and it doesn't. No, it's like you're teaching me something that's not true. So I'm not going to go with it. But for a lot of people, like you're saying, they just subcontract their thinking, or they send it offshore to, let's let the Jews decide all these things. Let's worship their hero. And well, here's the effects of that. Here's what you have to deny. You're immoral if you do what kind of morality gets a race destroyed, or gets a people or a civilization destroyed? And you can solve the problems Jews cause by converting them to – they don't want to convert to Christianity. They created it to convert your nations into rubbish, and it worked. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's so clearly a school set up by Jews like every other, like the NAACP. Take that over, and they redirect it so that blacks will serve them, or feminism. They take that over or create it. They did a little of both so that it serves them. It destroys white families. They rewrite the law so it serves them. Christianity has to be taken in this context of a tool used by these people trying to destroy us. And that's what it is. And that's the hardest one somehow for people to accept, because they have emotional ties to going to church, or some of the things the church did that weren't destructive, you know, supporting families and whatever, that it's now even getting away from. So they don't want to hear the reality of it, but that's my job, at least, to give them that reality of it. It is being used to destroy us, and that was its mission. And Marcus Eli Ravage talks about it. I encourage the people, look him up and read his two really profound essays, laughing at what he called anti-Semites, where you haven't even begun to figure out the depth of our pernicious influence in your kind. You know, when you just whine about banking and the rest, you're not even near the bottom of it. And the bottom of it is Christianity. And it's easily provable. But that's where it's harder to get it across. But I mean, use Jan South Africa as a perfect example of the liberalism of one man, one vote comes directly from Christianity and the one soul, the imperishable soul of everlasting value. The reason I use Catholicism is because it's been around longer than the other Christian subsets. They've worked it out to an infinite degree. They have their ideology neatly caught in a catechism, a 700-page paperback book. Read that and see what they say. Imperishable soul of everlasting value. For everything that creepeth on the face of the earth, that's a human, right? They're all of equal value. God created them all. You can't treat them as a class. See, and this is what makes them so moral. But if we don't treat them as a class, then we get what we have now. We refuse to see that, like Jefferson said, you know, the two races can't live together under the same government. They're too different. Biologically, whether you believe God created them or they evolved, they're just too different. One will destroy the other, and we see which is getting destroyed, right? So we're dealing in reality here in Team White. The Christians are not. They're being used by Jews who themselves deal in reality to destroy us using Christianism or Christianity. They use it to destroy us by making us worship, yeah, false God, a false ideology that says that race doesn't matter and it's immoral to defend your race or even to value your race as immoral. And you have to accept one man, one vote, and all the paper nationalism that comes with it instead of racial nationalism. The civic nationalism and civic spirituality make civic universalism. Right? We're the opposite of that. We're saying, no, our race does matter. We can flourish as whites in a white context, but we have to value race and reject any ideology that says race doesn't matter, like Christianity. That's the hard part, and that's what I and we are working on.
Well, Alex, I wonder if we should – oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say maybe we should slowly think.
Emotional reasons than intellectual. I can explain it to them. They just don't want to accept it yet, but they will over time. They'll it's undeniable what I'm saying.
You know, anyway, the breakdown that we're experiencing now is going to continue, and it will be a motivation for people to start to turn on their brain. And I think that's going to cure a lot of our ills. It's going to come with a lot of pain, but there's no other way. So maybe we should think of ending this call now. We've been on for over 2 hours now.
You're probably about right. Well, I've said all I have to say. You guys got any last comments?
I do have a couple of last comments. I saw that the biologist Richard Dawkins had to go and tell people that there really are only two sexes in biology.
Wow. What a hater. Wow. What a hater. Only two sexes. What a failure of imagination in politics.
Okay, and continue.
And I just wanted to ask you, Alfred, how have things gone for you since you were arrested? What did come back to you? And by the way, when they arrested you and made you sign stuff, what exactly were they kind of claiming is the issue, and did they threaten to do?
I signed these things. First of all, when I was in that police station there, I told them that I find it totally absurd to criminalize the thinking of one's own ancestors. You know, this is an illegal nonsense, and they can define it any way they want, but it is absurd beyond absurd. It is sick. And then I had to sign three forms. On each of these three forms, I said, I am signing this under duress, and to avoid any further damage to my person, I will sign this criminal extortion, nonsense. And then I put my name on there. And actually, they were very cheerful and happy about me doing it that way. And I see this as like they Okay, I'm facing another court thing on May the 11th, you know, and they want me, that's the higher court, because the lower court, this was something I did when I was in prison. I had explained to two other prisoners in the courtyard why I was in isolation. It was because I wasn't wearing my mask properly, and I, you know, it was because of this mask, you know, Corona mask show. And then I told them the reason I was in prison, because I was in isolation because of my mask resistance. And then I was in prison because of my dog, my jumping dog. And I showed how high my dog can jump. And one of the guards there says, oh, that's a Hitler salute. And I says, what a bunch of nonsense, you know. But they took this incident to make a new trial for me. And on the lower court, they had sentenced me to 6 months without chance of parole because of my jumping dog. And then I immediately says, no, we'll take that to the next higher court. And the next higher court appearance date is May 11th. And then my parole officer told me, in fact, I had to see them today. They told me there's other charges, other things pending against me. So they got a whole thing lined up. And I says, you know, I don't even take any of this seriously. I said, you know, you guys are, the system is collapsing, and you guys will all be held to account for what you're doing now after this goes through. And by the way, don't forget about Larry Silverstein and the Munich Re insurance fraud of over $4 billion and 9/11. And you guys have seen the video. I've shown it to you. And that is not forgotten, as you are now hearing, because I'm reminding you. And when I go to court on May 11th, I will talk extensively about Larry Silverstein's insurance fraud. And what is more important, my jumping dog, who's not allowed to jump 1.80 meters, and, you know, or Larry Silverstein's insurance fraud. So this is the insane asylum that we are presently in. And I do not take these people seriously, not in the slightest way. And my mission is basically to turn these communists into little Nazis. And some of them are hopeless, but I think in the end, you know, they're all going to get what's coming to them, because people are waking up fast now. So that's it. So that's engaging the system.
So yeah. So you are going to the higher court to try and improve the outcome that you got in the lower court?
Well, I'm going there. They're going to. It's an inquisition, so they will either slap the hammer down and charge me with additional things and lock me up for, you know, several years, or I don't know what they're going to do. I'm speculating on the fact that this whole thing is now unraveling, and it's making it ever more embarrassing. And I'm going to go through, like, I'm just going to explain to them very clearly that normally when this. Just like Kennedy had said, you know, if a peaceful revolution is not possible when it's necessary, then a violent one becomes inevitable, and so forth. And they are all committing high treason, and they will be held to account for what's happening, because people are not as stupid as they assume they are. So that's it. Like, I mean, when you engage the system, and the system is a lunatic asylum, that's what it is. I mean, Germany is a Jewish, penal colony right now. And that's, you know, that's how it is. Yeah.
Okay. So the May 11th is back to court for the higher
correct.
Court for the let's call it the jumping dog, and
yep.
then and but anything else did any have they have any other charges come at you, or any other weird things since we last spoke?
No, I have not received anything in the mail yet, so that doesn't mean that nothing is coming, but I have not received anything, and I'm just assuming that they're going to hold back on that.
Okay, so basically that Dresden thing looks like they messed you around, but they didn't take it to the next level. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I look at that Dresden thing as being it's almost like the hand of God helped us there, because if I had gone there and they didn't do anything, nobody would have even taken notice. But they did what they did. One of our guys had videoed that, filmed that, which is the video that you included on our last Team White presentation there. And that is so valuable, because – and then the presentation that
Very
how you started
important.
That video, that was so good. Like, we are not allowed to remember our own dead, And in the meantime, the quota nigger pilots are taking airplanes out of the sky and driving them into the ground because they're busy looking busy and important by pushing buttons. I mean, that's okay. These companies can decide how long they're going to use appearances like, oh, we have to have more Negro pilots. Well, they can figure out how long they want to keep afloat with their company with their Negro pilots that are busy looking important and busy by pushing buttons and driving these things into the ground. Hey, that's okay. I mean, I used to work for IBM, and when I was in 2017 on my Canada speaking tour, a guy came up to me and he told me he had also applied at IBM. And the question, the last question asked him was, are you, if you come to our company, willing to work with a transvestite? And he didn't know what to make of that question and kind of laughed it off. And then the personnel officer guy said, oh, I see we have an attitude problem. And he did not get the job. And I said that when a company like IBM, as a hiring criteria, has you need to work with transvestites, well, that company is on its way down. And that's our entire civilization right now is on its way down because of utter nonsense like that. And 40 years earlier, when I had applied at IBM in Canada, the last questions I was asked was, Mr. Schaefer, are you prepared to move if you work for our company? And I says, yeah, sure, I'll move if I can work for your company. You know, so if in 40 years, the final question goes from, are you ready, willing to move, to are you willing to work with a transvestite, we have a problem.
Yeah, this stuff is very, very bizarre. Yeah,
just communism, where you gotta, you know, you can't just do your job. You gotta be part of some political scheme you probably wouldn't agree with, or they wouldn't, or it could be assumed, you know, if it was something normal. They gotta ask you the bizarre stuff. Yeah, that's a civilization. That's communism, wouldn't you say? Just a new version of it, but like the USSR.
And communism is a disease. It's a malfunction. It is a sick code, totally sick code. And it doesn't stop there. It gets worse and worse and worse. And at the end of the day, if we don't wake up and come out of it, we are going to become extinct. And that was the end of civilization on this planet. That's the final statement. I mean, that's it.
Communism, just another ism. It's what Jews do to whites. And that's what they did in the old USSR, which is why it has so many problems today that Putin has tried to come back from the screwed money, the screwed social relations, the screwed industry. And he's trying to build them up while they're attacking him and trying to undermine what he does. Not saying everything he does is right, but
what enabled Russia to more or less recover to the degree that it did is because from the 60s onwards, the Jews were emigrating out of the Soviet Union, and we were always there whining about anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union, blah, blah, blah. And all these Jews, these parasites leaving the Soviet Union, were coming into the United States and getting all kinds of freebies, because after the Jews killed Kennedy and they had their man in office, the name of Johnson, he was in their pocket, and he was enabling them to, you know, collect free money for, you know, pensions and so forth, because they had served as the enemy in the Soviet Union, killing Americans, basically killing the West. And yet he had ensured that they can, collect their military pensions and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, they had they were able to enter the U.S. and immigrate on special terms available to no one else and play themselves as the victims of the USSR terrorist regime that they created and staffed.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how they do it.
You understand Jews, it really is unbelievable.
It really, Alex, it's the same as if you go out and rape somebody and they want to, punish you for it, but you whine and cry about your sore penis and you want money for it, you know? Like, this is what the Jews do to us.
Oh, yeah, and that's Leo Frank. I mean, he rapes and murders a young girl and then he's portrayed as the victim.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
And the ADL are the ones controlling Congress and training the FBI. We're in a dangerous position and it's not getting better. And that this is where all the degradation and the destruction come from in the United States, your country in the West. And that's the point of Team White to explain all this to you as we do. So we'll let Jan, everything good?
Yeah, everything's fine. Two quick comments for you. The Jew rat Zelensky, who runs Ukraine, the last I heard long time ago was he was making $1 billion US dollars a month. out of his position. Who knows what he's making now? And for you, Alfred, very final comment. You talk about blacks flying planes. I think you'll enjoy this. In South Africa, there was a crash in the, I think, in the 1980s, where a president from a neighboring state died in a plane when his plane crashed in South Africa. His name was Samora Machel. Anyway, Samora Machel's plane crashed, and it's been the result of lots of conspiracy theories. And of course, everybody says, well, you know, it crashed in South Africa, apartheid, all those Afrikaners, white South Africans are responsible for that, etc., etc. And meanwhile, when I did African Crisis, there was one famous journalist who actually befriended me. And he actually told me some things. He'd actually phone me and he'd tell me some things quietly that nobody knows. One day, that journalist told me the story about Samora Machel's plane crash. He said that a buddy of his was a journalist who was one of the very first people to get to the scene of the plane crash. And he said that this is why there's a cover-up, okay? The journalist said that when they got to the plane crash, all they saw were bottles of Jack Daniel's brandy and stuff all over the show. And then they discovered that there was a whole bunch of whores on the plane. So so they were drinking and whoring and screwing around on the plane, and boof, they fly into the fucking side of a hill. And so the apartheid government covered up the real story. And so you'll never hear the story of the Jack Daniel's brandy and the whores on the plane. And that's the real reason Samora Machel died.
Amazing.
So with that, I say thank you very much, guys.
Okay, excellent. Hit KirksvilleToday.com if you want a daily digest from the pro-white point of view like we're talking here. You can join pieville.net if it'll let your email in. That's all I got to add. I should have put that every month, but if you guys got any websites you want them to visit, say that. Otherwise, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next month.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net, that's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com, you'll find a ton of information on there, and then his news website, which is www.KirksvilleToday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.